Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Palace Station in Las Vegas. On the broadcast today, State Senator Tick Sagebloom for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
After decades of delay, Congress was finally voting on expanding VA benefits to cover Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange. They'd suffered for years, and they wanted Congresswoman Jackie Rosen to help them. But she was AWOL. Rosen missed the crucial vote. Instead, Jackie Rosen posed for a photo op at the U.S. border. Urge Congresswoman Jackie Rosen to do her job, to show up, and vote to finally help our veterans suffering from the effects of Agent Orange.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Palace Station. At the time we're recording this, the temperature outside is 115 degrees, so my guest, Tick Sagebloom, was very smart in the fact that he came here wearing shorts. I should have been wearing shorts as well if I was a smart man. Welcome to the program. Great to have you here.
Thank you. And you did promise me my shot was only going to be from my neck up, so yeah. I have a little bit of excuse.
Yeah, apparently we lied about that. Wanted to start with the development now, which has long been in the planning, but of seeing development in the valley moving towards Ivanpah and the water issues associated with that. Southern Nevada Water Authority says we got plenty of water. What are your thoughts on the growth heading towards that direction and the potential down the road, maybe it's 30 years from now, of Ivanpah being developed as an airport?
Well, the airport, that may be necessary. I honestly don't know yet. But I am concerned about moving outside the valley. We have a nice little valley here, but as you can see when you fly in, there's a lot of checkerboards, a lot of undeveloped space. And I think we should be pushing back in growth and higher density than trying to spread out. We can't all have single-family houses, even though I have one. And so I think we need to look to more multi-unit places. The biggest issue we have in Las Vegas is affordable housing. So to build more ranch houses going to California, to me, is the wrong approach, at least for now.
John Anspinger on the program from Southern Nevada Water Authority said that eventually by 2050, their projection is 3.5 million people in this valley. It's just less than 2 million now. So you're going to see tremendous growth no matter what. I mean, do you really think, to use Dina Titus's phrase, the ring around the valley is going to work?
Well, I think at least it ought to be our goal. Now, maybe at some point we have to go over, but to already start playing that, I'm personally against it. I just think we need to kind of focus on growth and bringing things in. The farther out you go, then you have transportation issues, not just water. So let's try to get our hands on what we have, and it's a lot easier to put 3 million people in a small area than it is to spread them out everywhere. Then the freeways have to get bigger, it just becomes a huge nightmare.
And boy, traveling through Project Neon, some of those ramps at this point are kind of scary.
I live right next to it, and I can't wait. It's about another full year, but it has been a nightmare. But hopefully it'll get done. One of our problems in Las Vegas is that we have a project like that, like a 4 or 5 year project. By the time we're done, it's already underbuilt, and we have to start again. So hopefully this time they figured out that this is going to last for at least 20 years, because it's been a nightmare.
Affordable housing, whose responsibility is that in the Las Vegas Valley?
Well, you know, the other day it's a capitalistic system, so there's going to have to be a demand. But there's no reason that government can't push in that direction. I've been told by some of the developers that almost all our unused land in Las Vegas is zoned residential estates, RE, which is like so many few lots per acre. We can't possibly fill our needs with that kind of zoning. So we're going to have to downzone and try to make a lot more units per acre, and that's something that government can do. It's going to be a tough thing to go to neighbors and say, by the way, even though you built next to this, you're going to have high density next to you. But I think that's something we need to start focusing on. So it's a government business cooperative, but government certainly needs to start thinking about it and encouraging that.
One of the biggest problems we've got in the Las Vegas Valley, as well as up in Reno, is the lack of workers. Is there something that government can be doing about that? Because it seems to me that not only do we need to continue the career and technical advancement, but also importing workers, and do we need to import workers from south of the border?
Well, we certainly can. I'm not sure locally how much control we have over south of the border, but what a huge workforce we have here are undocumented, and if they left today, this town would stop dead. That's just a fact of life. So we've been able to basically ignore what Trump's trying to do, but eventually, if he's successful, this town will be hurting. So I do think we need to keep trying pushing back on Trump and hopefully get rid of him, because at the end of the day, the undocumented workers are the best workers we have. Their families are the best families we have. They're the true Americans. They came here to work hard and to succeed, and that's what they're doing. And to discourage that or somehow or other criminalize that is just crazy.
Well, Mark Amadei makes the point, and I think it's a valid one, that it's Congress that needs to be doing their job, and Congress is not taking care of this. We've had many times over the decades workers' bills where people can cross the border legally and come to work in the United States, but it's not a permanent residency situation or a citizenship. It's a working visa. The Brasero program, other programs over the years, isn't that the direction we should be heading in, and isn't it Congress that we should be pointing the finger at?
Well, it is. That's what I said. I mean, the reality is it's more federal than local, but there are things we can do locally where we don't cooperate with ICE. We make this as either a sanctuary city in name or at least in concept, so that people aren't afraid to be here, or if they're victims of a crime, they're not afraid to report it. They don't think the police are going to show up and say, oh, by the way, we're going to arrest you, or if you're stopped for a traffic ticket, they check you, and then they throw you in jail and turn you over. So there's a lot of things we can do locally, but at the end of the day, it is a federal issue.
All right, so a couple of things that you bring up. One is, if there's no cooperation with ICE from the local government, or the sheriff's department, we should say Metro, then you're going to lose federal funds.
Well, they say that, but it's like marijuana. Everybody says, oh, we're going to shut you down, and they never do. So I'm a skeptic of that. I mean, I follow California's lead. Right now, California is doing all these things, and no one shut down them. So I think we're such a small piece of the action compared to what they do. If they start shutting down California, I'll get worried. But the fact is, I think back in D.C. they got their hands full, and they're not worried about things like this. Other than just, they talk a good game, but they never follow through.
I want to mention the fact that you brought up marijuana before I did, but we will get to that later. I just want to ask you one other question on this, which is getting rid of ICE a good political strategy for the Democrats in this election campaign?
I honestly think it is. It takes a little bit of an explanation, so maybe people don't have the time to really get into it. But we're not.
I've got time here. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So we're not getting rid of some type of immigration force. But the fact is, ICE and what it currently stands for is so terrible and so recognized within these immigrant communities as just a Gestapo almost, that the thought that we could stand up and say, no, let's get rid of this concept and come back with a different concept, I think is real important. I think we have to speak that loud and clear as Democrats and let people know that we will not stand for this agency, which seems to be just basically given a leash or unleashed, essentially, and said, go out there, and if you find somebody who's undocumented, grab them and block them up and send them away. That's not our history here, and that, especially in Las Vegas, with our huge immigrant community, is just terrible.
But has there ever been a time that you can recall in American political history where a government department has been turned around in that manner?
Well, I mean, Homeland Security wasn't even Homeland Security until a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it's just, it's really...
Well, that came in after 9/11.
Right, but I'm just saying there, it's really the name. The function would still be there. They wouldn't be told, look, focus on criminals, don't worry about other people, so, and don't go into neighborhoods and just start raiding things. They'll go into houses after somebody, maybe legitimately, but they find somebody else there who has no issue, and they'll arrest them. It's just become a very scary thing for immigrant communities. And it's not just Latinos or people from down south. We have a huge Asian population here, many of which are undocumented. So this town is built on immigrants, whether they're legal or undocumented. And they need to all realize that we think they're part of our society and a part of our community, part of our schools, and not be terrified.
All right, let's take a break. More with Zig Zegelblum when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things. Like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with currently State Senator Zig Zegelblum, running for county commission. So let's talk about marijuana. One of the things that you know, appears to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the police across the state, the state police in Utah, are all taking this in a manner that is common sense. They are not going hog wild, chasing after people, smoking marijuana, and they don't want anybody driving under DUI, but they are not going hog wild sitting outside of dispensaries trying to bust people. It seems like they're taking a very professional approach.
Absolutely. And as you know, it's actually illegal just to smoke it in public. I think we found there have been 40 arrests in the last year for that, which is minimal. You walk up and down the strip, people are smoking it all the time. So the cops have really taken a stand-back approach and, as you said, very sensible, realistic. It's also interesting, they've been told, like, if you stop a car and they roll down the window and you smell marijuana, that's not probable cause to do anything.
Really?
Yes. See, it used to be that just the smell, you could bring them out and search their car and find a joint or a roach or something and throw them in jail. But just the smell of marijuana is no longer probable cause, which is a huge change.
What do you think about these Canadian companies coming into the United States and buying up Nevada companies that are growers and dispensaries?
Well, if you notice, I'm actually on the board of directors of one of those Canadian companies. And I could see this is what the future, because you can't publicly trade a marijuana company in the United States. Or at least they can't be based in the United States. They have to be based in Canada. But the fact is, the amount of money is involved, it's tough to get just private capital. You need to have some type of a public stock offering to get the money. And most of it's coming from Europe. But you can see the huge demand up in Reno. That, I forget, Sierra Wellness, one of those companies, right, sold for $50 million. We just had one here up Sahara, sold for $57 million, just a dispensary and a grow.
Did it surprise you as people now reveal this, that medical marijuana was not a profit maker. They were really waiting for legal before they were going to start making
No, I could see it. I mean, the fact is these guys were hanging on by their fingernails. And thank God the governor worked with us to get it open 6 months early, because they really, there would have been a lot of bankruptcies if we hadn't been able to do that. And still, I mean, even though it sounds good and the revenues are way up, with the tax issues with 280E, when you can't deduct anything, they're fair few are making much money. I mean, maybe they're eking out a profit, but it's not like a huge bonanza.
Are you talking to people on a federal level and getting their feedback as to where we are? Because it seems to me that if any government smells the potential for tax money, that they will eventually have a major interest in a product. And marijuana is proving to be a very, very resilient product.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've off the record, have told people. If we can get our hooks in them with the marijuana taxes, then you know, they're not going to be able to stop us. And the fact is, although the tax money hasn't actually flowed out there, it is, you can see it's being collected, and it's going to be hitting and more every day. But, yeah, the federal level, as you can see, you know, Schumer just came out for a deregulation or a totally reduction in the scale. Cory Gardner, the Republican senator, joined with Elizabeth Warren to do the states' rights bill, which says basically any state that does it is the federal government won't get involved. So everybody sees that this is a big issue. The public supports it, and so it's actually a couple of points probably in an election. If you're for it like Jackie Rosen and you're against it like Heller, that could be the difference right there in that race.
It's interesting, too, in talking to that we had the deputy chief of the Reno Police Department on the program, and he was saying that he was surprised that the black market has not gone down or gone away, that is maintaining despite the fact that it's legalized.
That's one of the issues that we're still seeing, and I think that's just going to take time to even out. There's a couple of things. First, we have to be more... educate people more about why you want to buy from within our system. The fact that we test everything is so important, because when you're buying the stuff on the street, there's pesticides, there's all kinds of chemicals that you don't know what's in there. And if you're going to be smoking this stuff or eating it, that's not good. The other thing is, this past year was a huge harvest up in Northern California and Southern Oregon, and so all that excess just flooded down here. And at the end of the day, you know, people are price sensitive, and so if somebody walks around the street and says, you know, I'll sell you marijuana for half what you can buy at the dispensary, there's going to be some issues. But now that we have a legal market, the cops can focus on that illegal market, and over time it's going to happen. It's just inevitable.
You know, it's amazing. If you talk to people who were smoking dope back in the 60s and you tell them about what's sprayed on there, they'd be like, what? They didn't know.
Yeah, it's surprising we're all, some of us don't have hair, but surprising we all are having little things coming out of us, right?
Let's take a break. More with Tick Segelblum when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we carry on our conversation with State Senator Tick Seggerbloom, running for a county commission, coming to you from Palace Station. One of the things that's interesting to me is as you talk to people about legal marijuana now, the conversations that we're having, people that, you know, have taken a bite of the chocolate bar and they're thinking, well, it's not really having an effect. And then all of a sudden, after half an hour or an hour, whatever it might be, suddenly, boom, they're now relaxed for the next 4 or 5 hours. What kind of stories are you hearing that that would interest and entertain our viewers?
That, although I will say, in dealing with firefighters and police, I've heard a few stories that were not good, where a tourist took too much, and I don't mean too much, they just weren't used to it, so they ate something, and then all of a sudden they're having a panic attack, and so the paramedics have to come and take care of them and stuff. So there are some issues out there. But the real thing I'm seeing is the ideas people have for where we go from here.
As you for know, example?
You can buy it, but you can't use it anywhere. So people are all focused on where we're going to use it. And right now, just down the street here, the world's largest dispensary by far, plus a warehouse that's bigger than an aircraft hangar, which is going to be some kind of experience, is being built. It's supposed to be open November 1st. That's going to totally blow us away as far as Nevada will then be the leader in the world as far as marijuana goes. People came the other day, they want to build, there's a hotel right across from the convention center. They want to make it a marijuana-friendly hotel because all these people from California that come for tech conventions, they all smoke dope. There's restaurants, the city of Las Vegas, Bob Coughlin has actually got a bill in where they would be some type of a pot lounge, but it would be able to have food and liquor too, so you'd have a way to make money. Because the problem with just the lounge itself is who's going to bring their own marijuana and pay $10 to sit around and smoke with other people? But there's buses. The guy's going to bring down a bus that he just had, especially built in Denver, where there's some kind of a wall between the driver and the people in the back, so the people in the back can use while they're driving around, and then they'll have like a tour of all around Vegas. But everybody sees Vegas as the place to try these ideas out. That's what's so much fun. And I'm sure the same thing's going on in Reno, where they just see our economy and this issue is so tied together.
And it's really just a question of time, isn't it?
It is. The fact is that everybody says, what's your experience about the first year? I say, the biggest experience, there's no experience. There hasn't been, the sky has not fallen, there's been no disasters anywhere, the tax revenue is up. So, I mean, unless something dramatically changes after this first year, it's just inevitable it's going to reach out there. And the fact is most people don't like it, so it's going to be a kind of a small segment of the population that uses it. But that small, 10%, 20% of 40 million people in Vegas, that's 4 million people right there.
John Hickenlooper, the governor of Colorado, who was initially not in favor of marijuana, says essentially the same thing, that they're really not seeing the negatives that people expected to see, and he's planning to run for president. So he obviously doesn't think it's a big negative on his campaign.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren, who's I can tell you, she was at my house a couple weeks ago, she's running hard, and she just co-sponsored this bill, the states' rights bill. So people at the national level, in fact, I think all the major Democratic candidates who are running for president have all signed off on some type of legalization or decriminalization at the federal level, which is what we need. We just need the protection so we can have banks, and then we need to get rid of this 280E, which is the big tax problem. But banking really is the number one problem, and that's what we have to address. California's actually got a bill that they're going to get through this year. Hopefully our legislature, if no one else does it, can do it next year. And I've even said...
Do you have somebody to carry it?
Yes, and if we can get the Clark County, I just said, if Clark County, if I'm there, I think we should just go to the dispensary. We'll hire a Brinks armored car, and we'll go pick it up, take their cash and give them a check from Clark County. I mean, how can we as a government take their cash, their tax money, and then say, oh, by the way, we don't want you to bank it? Because when we take their cash for our taxes, what do? We put it in our bank. So it's like, what?
So now can they deduct the taxes in their taxes for the state of Nevada, as a business expense, or is that still not legal?
Truthfully, I don't even know how it works out, but 280E basically means you can, as far as the cost of production, you can't deduct things. So what the normal person would say was you only pay taxes on your net. with 280E, your net is huge, and so their federal taxes are incredible, and that's the only business in the world that does that. So it needs to be changed.
And you know, as we said, money in politics and tax money. The odds are that things will change, and as public opinion will change. Just a quick question here. We've got about a minute left. You said Elizabeth Warren was at your house. Do you see her as the standard bearer for the Republican Party? I mean, the Democratic Party, rather, in the next election.
She's certainly one of them. You know, I was a Bernie person before. He's out there running hard. The senator from California, the senator from New York,
Mel Harris,
yeah, Cory Booker. So there's a lot of people out there. And we'll just have to see the next couple of years. But I can tell you that they all see marijuana is a issue they can win on, and especially if it's against the Republican who's opposed to it. So
do you look for a younger candidate to be running on the Democratic side? Shelley Berkley was here earlier, and she was saying that it's time for Nancy Pelosi to step down. She should have retired 10 years ago. Is that your feeling, too, that you need to see the next generation?
That's the one issue I do have concerns about as far as a younger presidential candidate. I don't think Nancy Pelosi has to step down because of her age, but I do think it would be great to have somebody in their 40s or 50s. Kamala Harris could be the person, but you know, when you're talking about being elected at 70, that's pretty scary. Although Elizabeth Warren, I'm telling you, she had so much energy, and Bernie, you know, he seems to get stronger all the time. So there does, when you see pictures of Bernie and the woman from New York that just got elected to the Congress, the 28, the two of them out there, it's like, wow, we've got both spectrums covered. We are on fire.
It's Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. That's the way it is.
But I'm just saying, if I were out there as a person of the public and saw that, I'd go, wow, this party's got something going.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. We'll be back here in November. Hope to see you then.
Great. I'll be here.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Our thanks to the staff and management of Palace Station for letting us tape our shows here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.